Hello, fellow lovers of all things green. I'm Mary Stone, and welcome to Garden Dilemmas, Delights, and Discoveries. It's not only about gardens, it's about nature's inspirations, about grasping the glories of the world around us, gathering what we learn from Mother Nature, and carrying these lessons into our garden of life. So let's jump in the spirit of learning from each other. We have lots to talk about. Hello there, it's Mary Stone on a very cold screen porch. Quite a shift from last week's 70 degrees. We're only in the 30s, which is typical for mid-March. During the few weeks of warmth, a few perennials emerge and some woody plants began to break buds. What fun to see the tiny leaves emerging. There are daffodils in bloom here, and their sunny faces look cold. But like everything in nature, they are resilient and know how to adapt. Just as the peepers and the carpenter frogs that we heard singing their morning mating dance are back to sleep now, they'll soon get back to their mating song during the next warm spell. Thanks to those that reached back after last week's talk about relocating honeybees and being kind to pollinators, one kind listener wrote, "Another great episode. I used to work at a pick-your-own-apple orchard. When it was time in the spring, a couple of tractor trailers full of bees would arrive. They would let them go and they'd pollinate the whole entire orchard. They had 22,000 apple trees. Your story brought back many pleasant memories. Thank you for your kind words and for teaching me something new. I had never known that commercial beekeepers take their hives on the road to help orchards pollinate their trees. Speaking of relocating, it's the time of year to transplant many woody plants, such as trees and shrubs that you'd like to move to a new spot, and a time to plant many species of new trees and shrubs as well, leading to this week's story, which starts like this. Hello, fellow listeners and readers. Early spring, after the ground thaws, is ideal for transplanting many deciduous and evergreen trees and shrubs before they break dormancy. It's the second best time in my book. The first best time is after the leaves drop, or when they go dormant. That way, roots will remain active all winter long and give them time to recover and begin to settle in before they put energy into new growth. However, there are plants with thick and fleshy roots, per Penn State's Extension Office, such as oak, birch, hemlock, magnolia, tulip poplar, rhododendron, and flowering dogwood that do better transplanted in the spring. Here's how. While walking Miss Ellie past a farm that recently changed hands, this was a few years ago, there were large cherry trees in the field with root balls loosely wrapped in burlap. The trees were about 6 to 8 inches in caliper. The caliper, by the way, is the diameter of the trunk at chest height. I'll admit seeing them lying there for a few days tugged at my heart. But at least they had the burlap for protection. And based on their intended placement, the new farm owners were being thoughtful about where to plant the trees. As with any new planting, please choose a location that fits its cultural requirements, such as sun versus shade, soil pH, moisture level, and wind tolerance. The cherry trees will help shade the goats, and the sunny spot will be a happy home for the transplants. Although it would have been better if they dug the holes before excavating the trees so they could put them immediately into the ground. Like humans, the stress of moving is less if the home we're moving in is ready for us, and there isn't a dramatic adjustment to an uncomfortable new environment. When you're planting plants from a nursery, dig the hole 2 or 3 times the width of the root ball and the height of the root ball. Be sure the soil is moist but not overly wet, as it will cause soil compaction, inhibiting airflow to the roots. The objective is to keep the root ball intact, otherwise the roots could break, killing the tree. So that is true of transplants or newly planted trees and shrubs that you buy from the garden center. The rule of thumb for trees and shrubs you wish to transplant is to dig a root ball 8 to 12 inches from the trunk for each caliper. The ball would be 8 feet or more for the farmer's 6-inch caliper trees, requiring a machine. For ambitious hand diggers, stick with the transplants that are not more than 2 or 3 inches in caliper and recruit some strong helpers. No kidding, it can be a big, heavy job. And before you lift your newly dug tree out of the hole, rock it to one side, tuck burlap under the ball, and tip it to the other side to create a wrap, tying the top loosely with twine. carefully lower the tree into the new hole, straighten it, and put the soil back without tamping it too heavily so that it becomes overly compact. Cut away the exposed burlap and twine at about 2/3 from the top, and then finish backfilling. By the way, fertilizing is a no-no when you move a plant because it's under stress already, and having over-fertilization at the early time actually adds to the stress. But top the disturbed soil with 3 inches of hardwood mulch, keeping it away from the trunk and stems, will help retain moisture. Proper moisture levels for the first 2 years of a transplant are absolutely critical for the health of your plant getting settled in. While it's true that early transplants will have a double duty, recovery and new growth, their resilient nature will prevail if we do our part, treating them with kindness and respect, much like people. Garden dilemmas? AskMaryStone.com. There's been lots of changes on the farm since I wrote the story 5 years ago. Only one of the transplanted cherry trees survived. They built a Cracker Barrel-type building next to where the cows are to sell their goods. But the cows are in about an acre of land, and their field is mud much of the year, with puddling water that animals drink out of, mixed with their feces. It's sad to see. Jolie doesn't like to walk that way, and neither do I. Though recently it looks as though they are trying to solve the drainage problem, and hopefully they'll expand their grazing area too. They have, I think, 60 acres there. We walk along another street where farmers raise cows free to roam in large fields that they rotate, treating the animals with kindness and respect. One field has 2 elderly cows living out their years. So, as I was going down memory lane, there was another overly warm March when we still had Ellie, which brings a chuckle. I think we have a bit more time, so I look forward to sharing bits of it with you. Indeed, it feels like spring has arrived early. But don't let Mother Nature fool you into starting seeds too early in the garden. Check seed packs for when to start them outside. But it's time to start seeds indoors in this neck of the woods. The rule of thumb is 8 weeks before the last predicted frost, which is May 15th here. Of course, there are plenty of outside chores to do. My dear Kurt and his nephew Josh plan to work together on Saturday. So here are my spring garden honeydews, boys. Go ahead and cut down the ornamental grasses I leave standing for winter interest. Using your chainsaw is okay. I know how much you love power equipment. Cut the grasses just above ground level. But please don't confuse them with the hydrangea you mowed down last year, as I haven't recovered from the shock. The hydrangea have, and maybe with some luck, they'll bloom this year. I know, Mr. Fastidious, that you love to use the spiffy backpack blower on the decaying leaves in the gardens, but they provide nutrients and help suppress weeds. I promise they aren't so thick and matted that perennials won't emerge. I know you've been concerned about that. I understand your fantasy of a baseball field lawn like your brother's, with stripes, but synthetic chemicals are a no-no here. You can spread some corn gluten in the yard now that the forsythia is in bloom. It's an organic pre-emergent. It won't kill the weeds, but it'll prevent new weeds from propagating. Weeds don't bother me, as you know. They're as green as grass. Please cut back the dry perennials I left standing to encourage self-seeding and feed the birds over winter. And while you're at it, if you don't mind, can you snag the seed heads that didn't drop and put each kind separately in a clean paper cup? There's no need to label what's what, unless you're dying to brag about all that you've learned since being with me. One more thing, if you don't mind. The stone patio has patches of algae. I know I said green is good, but algae's slippery when wet, and I'm concerned for a certain someone who tends to be a tad clumsy. I'd say power wash the patio, but it's tricky not to blow out the wonderful sedum and moss rooted in the nooks and crannies. I heard that a 1/3 cup white vinegar mixed with 2/3 cup water sprayed on the algae does the trick. After you spray, could you scrub each stone individually, keeping away from the joints, of course, and then hose it off? You're the best. Oh, in case I forgot to mention, if you could forgo the chainsaw on the hydrangea and stay clear of the beauty bush, too, that would be great. Happy almost spring. I don't know, it just makes me laugh to reread this story. And it's so interesting because, you know, life goes on and seasons change and we grow and the people around us grow, too. Josh is now graduating from plumbing school and becoming a licensed plumber. And of course, we lost our dear Ellie, but she forever remains in our hearts. And we have Jolie, who's a digger dog, looking for chipmunks and moles and voles. If I could only train her to dig holes for perennial transplants, what do you think? Would that work? Anyway, I so enjoy your visits with me each week, and I would love to hear some of your funny stories or other garden and nature memories that you'd like to share with us. It would be so fun to hear from you. You can email me at askmarystone@gmail.com. And I thank you for joining me and joining all of us as this community grows, inspiring others to learn and grow in the garden of life. It means so much. See you next time. You can follow Garden Dilemmas on Facebook or online at gardendilemmas.com and on Instagram at #MaryElaineStone. Garden Dilemmas, Delights, and Discoveries is produced by Alex Bartling. Thanks for coming by. I look forward to chatting again from my screen porch. And always remember to embrace the unexpected in this garden of life. Have a great day.